Welcome to Big Girl Pants Podcast,
where we're here to talk about women, health, power, and wealth.
Hosted by April Melton
and Kimberly Shapiro.
We are real women with real jobs doing real life. We as women know what it feels like to try to be super mom, super fit, wrinkle-free.
All the while climbing the corporate ladder.
Sound familiar? Then this show is for you.
So stay tuned.
Hello.
How's it going?
Man, when's the last time we did an episode just me and you?
Okay, I don't even know.
Okay, that's a bad sign.
I feel like I need
technically,
to adjust
we really
the
like each other, guys. We really do.
We really do. And when we see each other after we haven't seen each other for a while,
it's like a reunion. It's so great.
Sad.
It's like seeing your long lost favorite cousin, you know?
I describe you to people as a sister.
Say.
Like you're like my young sister.
And you're like my wiser older sister.
I'm the wiser older sister.
You are.
I love
seriously
that.
I tell
you.
People that all the time.
I like that label.
I like it too.
Yeah,
because I feel like I can go to you with any of my like adulting issues, and number one, you never judge me. Number two,
never will.
You always give me really solid advice.
Thank you.
And you're like the most, you're funny, but you're also like PC in your delivery. So I love it because I always feel confident, like, you know,
sometimes
getting advice from you.
I'm a little too PC.
No,
I
you're
used
the
to
best.
Think you were like another daughter, but you're actually, you're older, like
once
enough.
Removed.
Yeah. Like you're kind of at an age where it's like, it's not really a daughter relationship.
Yeah.
So more sister friend.
Very, yes. Sister friend.
Sister friend.
Like the Mormons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's sister wife.
Mm.
Let's not go there.
I don't know.
So we were thinking.
I'm not sharing Bradley Shapiro with you. That's not a thing.
I'm not sharing Bradley Shapiro with you.
No.
So funny.
Yes.
So, wow, lots been going on.
Yeah.
Holy what.
I know.
So, obviously, we're talking about the coronavirus.
For sure. COVID-19.
So many stories.
Yes.
Just in the last week with myself. I'm sure you've got them too.
For sure.
It's insane.
Where do you want to start? You want to start personal? You want to start work? Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with this story.
Okay.
So Wednesday night, you know, I don't listen to the news.
Yeah.
That's not entirely accurate. I stay up to date through my news app and, you know, I get highlights
yes,
of things, but
same.
I just don't listen to the news reels all day
all the
long.
Time.
Like
no,
a lot of people. I'm not a news junkie intentionally. I shut it off because I don't, especially with all the politics and all of that.
I know.
I like to stay positive and optimistic, and I really believe that people who listen to the news all the time
do not have that headspace.
They don't.
No.
And I think you get caught up in it,
yeah.
And you get caught up in the hype and the crazy, and it causes anxiety.
But it starts to rewire the tapes that play in your brain.
It
so it's
really
funny.
Does.
Matt, I guess Matt thought that I would.
Matt's
maybe,
her new boyfriend.
Oh, April has a boyfriend. He thought that I would want to watch the news to see what's going on in
sure.
the morning. Just assuming.
Sure.
And he was like, I don't really watch the news, babe, but like, do you want to? I was like, nah,
definitely
bro.
Not.
It's like, it's literally like a, it's programmed, obviously. It's
right.
a program show.
Right.
But it's like negative, 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 funny, positive story.
Yes.
And then negative again.
Yes.
And we close with the weather.
Well,
like,
and recently the negative, actually not even recently, but the negative isn't just negative. It's like, it's like a little hot dog. Like it's like the hot dog is the negativity and the bun is the anxiety. It's
yes.
like all this negativity like wrapped in anxiety.
It is such a good
and so it just
comparison.
Freaks everybody out.
Yes.
And I'm so over it. But anyway, so Wednesday night I'm lying in bed and I'm going through all of my news kind of highlights.
Yeah.
And I see that Australia is having a toilet paper shortage. Yeah, okay, I'm late to the party, whatever, because I don't watch the news. And Brad says, actually, honey, there's a toilet paper shortage here in the U.S. And
I know. When's the last time you went to the grocery store?
Well, Sunday, but
okay.
I didn't.
Last Sunday.
Okay.
A week ago.
I got back from, but this is 3 days after I was in the grocery store, but I didn't need paper products.
Yeah.
So I didn't go down that aisle at all. And I didn't need hand sanitizer. I didn't need any of that stuff at the time.
Do you even keep that stuff on hand?
Like I do.
You? Okay.
I do, but I just didn't have any of it. So, I already had some because we were going to Mexico and
yeah.
I didn't need any of it.
Right.
So I didn't go down those aisles and it didn't even impact my shopping experience. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday night, I'm going through all this and Brad's like, well, there's one here. This is 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Wednesday night. And I said, oh.
What do you mean?
Like, Brad, I forgot to buy. I guess I shouldn't say I didn't need it. I did need it. I didn't know that I needed it.
Yeah.
And so we had two rolls in the whole house.
Shit.
This is Wednesday night. And I'm like, oh, that's problematic potentially.
That might be an issue.
So I'm like, I think I'm going to go to Walmart like right now. And he's like, it's, yeah, it's Wednesday and we're in bed and you're in your pajamas. I'm like, that's okay. In Walmart, you can go in your pajamas. It's perfectly acceptable.
Yes. So you'll probably look better than half the people that are in there in your pajamas.
So I got up, I put shoes on and out the door I went. And so by the time I got there, it was like nine. By the time I, you know, actually decided to get, because you have to contemplate, do I go? Do I not go? By the time I actually decided to go, it's 9:30.
The battle with your inner voice.
For real. So I get there and when you walk in the store, the pharmacy area is the first section. So I didn't even hit paper products first. I hit NyQuil and Kleenex and all of that. Got the last two because I thought, well, what if we do get it? Because if it is going to spread as fast as they say it is, I'd like to have some NyQuil and DayQuil so I can sleep.
Of course.
And so I grabbed the last two bottles on the entire shelf.
Of course.
That there was none. Then I go to, oh, crap, I'm probably going to need Kleenex. I bought the last four pack. You couldn't even buy a box. You had to buy like the four pack.
Of course.
And the last one is what I got. Obviously, no hand sanitizer, no Clorox wipes, nothing like that.
This was Wednesday, so that's 5 days ago.
This was Wednesday.
Okay.
So then I trek over to the paper products aisle, and the first aisle is paper towels, and it was just full. So I thought, oh, this is so stupid. There's plenty. And I'm like, oh, this is paper towels. So I go to the next aisle, vacant.
Nothing.
There was 20, you know, the big packs, like the ginormous packs. Yeah. There was about 20 of those.
Okay.
But if you wanted like the 4, 6, or 8 packs,
no,
or even 12 packs,
yep,
gone, all of them. So there's like 20 packs of the big ones. And of course, so many people have posted in the last week, like, how long is it going to take you to go through 24 rolls of toilet paper? And I bought four of them. I'm like, I will not have to buy toilet paper again.
That's amazing.
For a year.
That's amazing.
For a year. There's two of us in this house. So, yeah, okay, I'm one of them. But it's funny, like, I don't think people are hoarding because they're fearful of the end of times.
Okay.
They're hoarding because they're afraid there's that all the other people are going to buy up the stuff and they're not going to have anything. And so, like, it's how long is this going to last? How long? I don't want to be without. I don't want my family to be without. So yep. I'm going to go ahead and take care of me.
Right.
And then we don't even think about, oh, crap, how does this impact everybody else?
What about the senior citizens?
I did it, but I bought into it. Like, I did it.
Yeah.
I bought four packs. Of, what is it, 24?
24 rolls
whatever
of
it is. Like, how long is it going to take me to go through that? Like,
you got the plug.
I mean,
literally.
So after reading all these, you know, posts over the last 3 days, I'm like, dang, I was that person. I felt really bad. Maybe I should return it. I don't know.
Do not return it. Keep the toilet paper.
I'm going to keep it. But I'm just.
Do it.
That's the issue is people are afraid. I really don't think people are afraid of running out, like, or preparing for the end of times. I really think people are just like, I better get enough to take care of me because all of these crazy hoarders are taking everything.
I think that's a good point to make too, and like a good perspective to think about, like with the masses, right? I think my fear is like, well, okay, so that was Wednesday for you. You went to Walmart, right? So yesterday, Matt and I go to Sam's because he like grocery shops there or whatever. And no toilet paper.
Yep.
No paper towels.
Yep. I have a story about Sam's too.
Yeah. And then we go to Target last night too. No toilet paper.
Go to Staples.
All of the.
Oh. Staples is they've got a whole ton of them. Like right.
Because nobody even thinks of that store.
Nobody thinks of it.
Genius. Look at you. And then. People are going to listen to this and they're going to immediately go to Staples. Staples are going to be like, thanks a lot.
No, because you can go before we release this.
This is true. Oh, I'm going for sure. But then like we go to Target last night and then like you said about the NyQuil and the Kleenex.
Yeah.
All of the Advil, right. All the Tylenol, all of that stuff.
Gone.
And then, so I also want to ask, obviously you saw, did you see Trump speak on Friday?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
What'd you think? Is this what you guys were talking about last night?
No, okay, no. Just about the hype and the one party. So last night I went to a comedy club with a couple of friends of mine. And my husband, who is wildly conservative, was having a discussion about coronavirus with a friend who is liberal.
Well, these liberals are also, they're from Europe. So.
Well, one's from Poland and one's from France. Yeah. Super cool people. My favorite people on the planet.
I love them.
But Brad and my friend were talking in completely like the opposite sides of the spectrum
of
on what's happening right now. Brad feels like this is just overdone, overhyped. It's been, what's the word I'm looking for? It's we're panicking for no reason. For sure. Doesn't think that it's going to be, or has even the potential to be, this chaotic situation.
What people think it is.
Right. And he, on the other side, was saying, no, we have to take these precautions because 1-3% death, even though that's a low mortality rate.
Yeah.
Of, like, there's, what, 300 million in America?
Yeah.
So let's say 50% of us get it, 150 million. He's like, what is 3% of 150 million?
Yeah.
It's a lot of people.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So, and I can argue both sides. Like, I can see, oh, yeah, that's true. And then I can see Brad's side, too. So,
right.
But I had to shut it down because I'm like, this is a comedy club. We're not going to go
We're supposed
here.
To laugh. Thank yeah. you.
We're not going here.
So, what did you think of, and obviously, I don't want to get political. I just want to be pragmatic about Trump's speeches in the past 2 days. So,
I didn't see anything. The only one I saw was Thursday night.
Friday. Oh, was it? So Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, he made
did not see that.
Okay, so he made an announcement.
The state of emergency.
Yes, the national emergency.
Or national emergency, yeah. Right.
So he makes the announcement, and honestly to me, and again, this is not political, but it felt very, which it's not a surprise, Trump is very business.
Sure.
Right? Yeah, we get it. He loves business.
Right.
He loves watching the stock market.
He's pragmatic.
He is. So, but watching it, it felt like I was in a board meeting with like, I don't even know, with like 20 of the nation's top executives and how they were going to monetize from the coronavirus.
Right.
Because as opposed to former presidents in the past, like Obama, if something were to happen with Obama, I feel like Obama would have gone on there, gone to the podium, been very poised and professional and said, hey, this is what's going on. It's a national emergency.
Well,
we have to address this.
He had a way of reaching people's hearts.
Yes.
And he was very personable. Gifted
yes.
with that. Yeah.
And I feel like Obama would have gone on and said, we have partnered with these companies and these organizations to ensure that the American people are going to be taken care of.
Yep.
Whereas Trump goes on and has 12 different CEOs from Target, from CVS.
That was actually Walgreens. Very strategic, though.
I know.
I think that was good.
I don't think it was bad, but I felt like it was very business-centric.
Sure.
Like, here's the American public. I'm the president.
Right.
But me as the president, I'm going to allow every one of these CEOs to discuss what it is that they're going to do with their companies. But then yesterday he goes on to say that the stock market raised and had a record number and that, but I'm confused as to why that's of significance when you're discussing a national emergency for health.
It's a huge significance.
For health?
Yeah. Because here's the issue. The stock market declines, people lose their wealth. When they lose their wealth, they can't afford health care. They can't afford to take care of themselves.
Okay.
It impacts businesses. It impacts the grocery store's ability to restock their stuff. So think about when people freak out, and because they're afraid they're going to get sick, they don't go to restaurants, which, by the way, we'll talk about that because that is not the case right now. That's what the news is saying, but that's not the case.
Right.
So I witnessed it firsthand last night. But anyway, so people stop going to restaurants. They stop buying things. They stop going places.
Yeah.
So then restaurants, they're not buying from their distributors. They're not buying from their manufacturers. So it slows down the restaurant industry, the travel industry, the distribution industry, manufacturing. And then what do you see? Then we're in the middle of a huge recession, if not depression.
Okay.
So it is very, very impactful. And so having these, the CEOs of all of these major marketers, or these, like, you know, Target and Walmart, that gave people, or the point was to try to give people a sense of security and a sense of, look, it's going to be okay. I know that there's a run on the markets right now and a run on the grocery stores. We're here to tell you that we're restocking. We're all good. We're going to be fine. Stop hoarding. It's going to be okay.
Okay.
So that people
can say, put people at ease so that they stop freaking out.
Yes.
Okay.
And that in turn, because the stock market did take a tick back up.
It was a record setting day.
Right. And we need that. Because when the stock market declines, companies lose their wealth, individuals lose their wealth, and then people can't take care of each other. And then, oh my God, it's just a
mess,
a downhill spiral from there. And you know, our economy is flourishing. It's doing so, so well, I should say, was doing so well. Can you imagine what's going to happen? We're all kind of on pins and needles anyway and have been for the last 2 years. Like, what's it going to take?
Waiting for the recession.
Waiting for it. And yeah. We're like, is this the trigger? Is this what's going to send us into the next recession? And because of all the printing of money and of all, everything that we did to get us out of the last recession, we never really self-corrected. So economists think, okay, this next recession is going to be worse than anything we've ever seen because we never really self-corrected. Okay. We just printed money. Doesn't mean we really had any.
Right.
It wasn't real money. We just printed it. So the balance sheets are off. They're elevated. And at some point, it has to self-correct.
Okay.
So I do think it's very tied, and I do think it's connected. But I can see how when we're dealing with a health crisis, can we just have a little emotion? Can we like have a, and I don't think he has it in him. Like, I don't think he's not capable of that because that's just not him.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to Brad the other night about, isn't it interesting how Republican presidents, and y'all, I have voted for all of the Republican presidents. So before I say this, I don't want to just understand, like, I voted for them. But you look at Bush Sr., Bush Jr., and now Trump, and then you look at the Democratic presidents like Clinton and Obama, it's really funny how the Republican presidents, their ability to, they lack eloquence. They don't know how to stand up and effectively deliver their messages. Now, Brad would totally argue with that because he thinks Trump is brilliant.
Of course.
But I think they all have so many instances where they said the dumbest things and you're like, wow. And then you look back at Obama and Clinton's, like, all of their speeches and their ability to rally people together. And it's like, they were brilliant orators. They did, they just knew how to deliver a message.
And how to impact someone, like, personally.
They did. And they knew how to, like, take the business side of life and the personal side of life and just... and merge it.
They meld it together.
They did.
Like a beautiful marriage.
Yeah.
And at no point did you feel like the most important thing or the underlying message was money. And I just felt like the entire time listening to Trump speak as the representative of our country.
Sure.
Like, dude.
No.
Are we? Right.
But I will say he obviously spoke to the people who need, like, because for the markets to tick up the way that they did.
It was an effective message, obviously. But I also think that, like, he did make a good point about the flu and how the flu kills 36,000 people a year. So, like, while we have 50 deaths and this is, you know, rapidly spreading, 36,000 people die from the flu.
So many people, and I think Georgia Green was one of them, put something on Facebook about why is this epidemic such a crisis when obesity is on the rise it kills how many people year over year, and yet we do nothing to address it.
It's literally like, somebody posted a meme that said, like, coronavirus comes out and we implement a travel ban and whatever, but obesity kills however many people a year and we invent a new flavor of Doritos.
I mean, does nobody pay attention to that stuff?
Of course we do. Our shelves are stocked with, like, you know, insulin spiking, diabetic inducing foods, and we do nothing about it.
It's insane. And I'm not saying they're the same for everybody out there who's yelling in your car.
No, like, obesity is an epidemic that we're not addressing.
It's a huge epidemic that we are not addressing. And Americans are one of the
worst
world countries that are impacted.
Well, and poor people are some of the fattest, which has never, like, this is the first time in history that poor people are the fattest because processed food is the cheapest.
It is the cheapest.
So what are they, you know, what are they going to buy? They're going to buy what's available.
But I'm going to say yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. I think if you're going to shop at the dollar store and you're going to fill up a basket with a bunch of dollar boxes and
with garbage,
with a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. That's probably the cheapest.
Right.
But if you're going to Kroger or you're going to Tom Thumb or whatever your grocery store
or even
choices,
Walmart.
Or
you
even Walmart.
Yeah.
Even Walmart. And you're filling your basket with Doritos and Pringles and
that's just
lunch
expensive.
Meat. That's the kind of lunch meat that's in the little wrapper package and,
yeah.
you know, like American cheese and crap like that. I promise you people that if you will walk over to the deli and spend $4 more and get freshly sliced low sodium turkey and you get good cheese that's sliced right there, or even go buy you know, a better quality cheese.
Yeah.
Stop buying bread and Doritos and crap like that and a few more veggies to and make a salad.
Twinkies and ho-hos and
it
Coke.
It isn't more expensive.
No.
It's really not, because you're trading the $5 bag of Doritos for something that's a little bit healthier.
I know, they're so expensive. You could go to the can aisle and get, you know, low sodium black beans or pinto beans and rice and vegetables, frozen vegetables. Vegetables are cheap. They're like less than a dollar a bag.
They really are, especially go to Aldi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Aldi is my jam.
So I will have to argue that. I think if you try...
I agree. I think you're right.
It can be
but I also think that,
or even cheaper sometimes.
Of course. But I also think that nutrition isn't something that's like widespread in this country either.
The nutritional advice that is given to kids in school, like 100%. The pyramid, is wrong.
12 servings of carbohydrates,
right?
Are you kidding me?
Nobody should be eating bread.
Who made the food pyramid? Like, seriously?
Have you seen Fat? You need to go watch Fat.
Oh, I do need to watch that.
The documentary.
I'm going to watch that today.
It's really, really good.
I listened to a podcast where he went on Joe Rogan, the creator of that documentary.
Oh, did you?
Yep. Vinny Totoro or whatever.
He used to be a model or whatever.
He used to be a bodybuilder, I think.
Okay, yeah. So I would say...
I need to watch that.
Argue that a little bit. Yeah. And not argue it, but just counter it. Just since I think if people would focus...
Oh, I'm for sure watching
that
today.
And I hear people say, my daughter is one of them, my youngest, that, you know, I don't know how to cook. I'm like, here's the thing. If you really stick to like a meat and a vegetable, you don't have to know how to cook.
No.
You can
throw... You have an oven.
Right? You just slice up the vegetables... Put some seasonings, throw them in the oven, toss them in olive
100%.
Oil, throw them in the oven, and it's yum. And okay, so if it's too bland for you, sprinkle a little cheese on
it. Or use some hot sauce or whatever.
Whatever. I mean,
but my thing is too, like, we literally live in America where we have every resource at our fingertips on our phone.
I know.
You don't know how to do something?
Yeah.
YouTube. You don't know how to do something? Google.
Right?
If it's important to you, if it's a priority for you, you will find out how to do it.
Exactly.
But we have to make, I think we have to make being healthy, and I think that a good majority of Americans do make that a priority.
Yeah.
But then it's like, some are just lazy. Some people are just lazy. Some people just don't want to.
I actually don't think so. I really think people don't know what they don't know. And if you go into, let's just take a low socioeconomic area, just area, not even a family, but an area. I don't know that they know. And I don't know that they have the people. Yeah, we've got these little devices at our fingertips, but you have to know what to search for. You have to have something even spark the interest.
That's
to
true.
Say,
That's true.
Oh, I didn't even know
Same
that.
Same with finances. So right? You're right. You're right.
Yeah, so I think people, there's a lot of people who just aren't even introduced to that way of life. And so they don't even know that that's a possibility.
And it's not like that's being taught in school either.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I... Yeah.
But, and that kind of goes back to, I think, something we were talking about when Bree was here, on the last episode. We were talking about school and education and like what we're teaching and like in schools and how we're actually impacting people's lives. Like, I feel like the alignment from what we learn in school, even in college, that translates to the business world is just completely separate.
It doesn't even think about kids, there's no flow. Well, think about kids coming out of high school. Being forced to go do life, especially those that choose not to go to college.
Yeah.
They have no idea what a tax return even is.
No.
How many kids come out of school and work probably for a couple of years before they even realize they're supposed to even file a tax return?
Yep.
You know, they're probably 20 years old before they're like, oh, I'm supposed to do that? Like, I could have got money back? I don't even know.
Yep.
So, like, what?
Yep.
They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to budget. They have no idea how to budget.
No.
They don't know.
I didn't know how to budget for a long time.
They don't have a clue about the different investment vehicles that they could be contributing to, whether that's a 401k or whatever it is.
Or a Roth or an IRA.
Yeah. So unless you've got a family member, like a father, a mother, an aunt, an uncle, or
somebody who's pouring into you
and giving you this advice, you're going to walk through life and be 40 years old before you even knew what was possible.
Yep.
Or what your options were from an investment perspective.
100%.
So I just think that we're missing it in the educational system. We're missing it with finances. We're missing it with diet. We're missing it with like life lessons and things we need to know as we push these kids out into real life. But
exercise, keeping yourself healthy, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. But also like what translates into the business world. Like even if you don't want to say it, there's always a hierarchy.
Yeah.
Right?
Economics. We force kids to take communications. Okay, fine. Or what speech class.
Yeah.
Which I think that's good.
Of course.
I do.
Yeah.
But and it should be a requirement.
Sure.
But so should economics. 100%. Economics should not be a class that is a elective, because I think it is. I don't think you have to take economics.
In some schools, you have to, but it's required in for some degree programs in college. But I think you only get one economics class in your entire, you know, K through 12.
Right.
One.
The high schools, I don't think you have to have economics. It's like a group of like four that you choose from. So you could take economics or you could take some other
statistics, or
whatever.
No, you're right.
Economics should be an absolute requirement. How does money work? What is the dollar? What backs a dollar? Oh, by the way, nothing. Gold used to back in, I think it's in the 70s, that went away. And so literally nothing but consumer confidence backs the dollar.
Faith.
Nothing.
Faith in our economy.
Faith. So, but
and for a country who's lacking in faith, we sure have a lot in the dollar.
I know. But our kids are coming out of school and they don't even know that. Like they have no idea how economics works or how the dollar works or what the dollar even means.
Yeah.
So I think we're missing it there. We totally got off topic. This is what we do.
This is great.
I love it.
I love it too.
So,
I'm like rant away.
I know.
So, okay. So you said first you wanted to address like the toilet paper shortage, right? So going to the store and there's no toilet paper.
Right.
So how has your work life been affected from this?
Well, so we're both in staffing.
Yeah.
We've had to implement a few, I don't want to say procedures, policies over the last week that are going to really drastically impact our business. I think the number one thing that we've had to adjust is we have a weekly metric around interviews and client meetings. So all of that has been erased.
Completely
like
there's
no metric now. We've decided not to bring anybody into the office.
Good.
So if there's any interviews, internal interviews, then they have to be conducted via FaceTime or Skype or some kind of online media, but nobody's coming into the office. And client meetings, while we will accommodate a client's request to come in and meet with them, we are not asking for those meetings right now.
Okay.
Because we know that our clients are probably uncomfortable with it. And we know so many of these organizations are working remotely right now that it's just going to be hard to get in front of people.
It's going
to
be like, oh,
so
can
we
I show up at your house?
Right. Well,
I know you're working remote right now, so can I come meet at your house?
Exactly. And while I don't know that this is going to work well, I think we've got to get creative and we've got to come up with some other means to get face-to-face with a client. And does that mean Skype? Would a client even click on the link and even join the meeting? I don't know.
Yeah.
I know that when people in the past have reached out to me to try to sell me something, and they want to meet, via internet, like, I'm always like, no, like I always click no.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is that going to work or is that going to shift because of what's happening? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to impact the business. I'll tell you the biggest concern that I have is the individuals that are out on billing right now, our temps that are working.
Yes.
What are they going to do? Because a lot of these people are in jobs that they're not going to get laptops. They're not going to be able to work from home.
Well, because the companies that they work for have desktops.
They have desktops, right? But these are also contingent workers. They're not full-time employees of the organization. And so they may, you know, from a liability perspective, do they really send laptops home?
Well, and I think that depends on the pay grade, because in IT, everybody gets a laptop anyway.
100%. Yeah. Our senior level people...
For sure.
Or issued one like on day one of their contracts.
Yeah.
So this is really more those in the, I say under $20 an hour.
Under $25
an
hour.
Probably $25. Yeah. Like that's not necessarily. And the organizations don't really. So one company we work with, we've got like 12 to 15 people out there.
Yeah.
I don't know that they've got, you know, I don't know that they have the hardware or like the laptops to even distribute to them.
That's what I'm saying. Even if they wanted them to be able to work remote, even if the employee had the capability, i.e. the internet speed or the connectivity to work from home.
Yeah.
They would still need the hardware. They would still need the laptop.
Right.
And if they don't have a laptop at work, where are they going to get them? What are they going to do? Go out and buy laptops when they're already going to be affected economically?
Yeah.
No.
Wouldn't it be interesting? This is such a far-fetched idea. Wouldn't it be interesting if this is the trigger or the thing that sends us into a true online remote world, meaning schools, like the option of, because, you know, colleges are already saying, look, we're canceling classes for the semester.
Oh, I know.
And, you know,
schools have been extended spring break by 2 weeks.
Yep. And so wouldn't it be interesting if this is the thing that sends like the remote option as a thing for even primary and secondary schools.
So interesting.
You know, and Kylie, my youngest daughter has Asperger's and dyslexia and some other things. And so public school was a challenge for her because of the testing and all of that. She could never pass those stupid tests at the end of the year. But her classwork was always just fine. She was good and she would engage and she was fine, but she could never pass those tests. So I was always looking for options, kind of a plan B for her. Because I knew once she hit high school, public school was not even going to, it was just not an option. But I was always looking for like some homeschool remote option. And they're out there. But I just thought, wouldn't it be, there needs to be more options. Because mm-hmm. I think I had like three.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So we wound up putting her in a very small private school. But
I think it's hard too, because going back to the education thing, like, do we want our kids to just be in front of a computer screen all day? But then when we look at our workplace, what are we doing?
Well,
outside of people who are in sales that are going to meet people face to face, what are we doing? We're looking at a computer all day.
Well, and then there's, you know, like I've always been a working parent. I've never had somebody home who could even supervise,
right?
You know, a kid. Yes. Now, high school, they can kind of supervise themselves, and you can manage grades and things like that from afar. But think about an elementary kid. You got to have a parent at home. You got to have a parent at home who can even manage and monitor that, right? Yes. You can't just leave a 7-year-old at home and say, all right, kiddo, I'll see you when I get home. That's not going to work.
Good luck.
As far as being engaged with your peer group and that kind of thing, there's ways around that. Because I think when you think about homeschooled kids,
they still
have sports and they still have things like that.
Like gatherings and stuff.
So I think there's a way around that.
You always can tell the people who are homeschooled.
Yeah, but let's talk about this. Think about schools and you send your kids to school. And I hear this all the time with mothers, especially parents of kids with ADHD. The kids are not thriving. They're in trouble all the time. They're in trouble because the kids are expected, these little kids between the ages of like 5 and 11, where there's so much pent up energy, and they're required to, when they come into the school, be quiet, be respectful, walk in a straight line, sit down,
conform.
Don't talk to anybody, just be quiet, don't do this, don't do that,
yep.
don't breathe.
They're not allowed to act like kids.
Right, and so we expect them to sit and be these perfect little human beings all day long and hold all that energy in until recess. And oh, by the way, if you get in trouble at 10 a.m., you don't even get recess. I'm like, hello, people, wake the F up.
100%. 100%. But even then, I tell Chloe this too all the time. I'm like, listen, you're never going to have, every single day is never going to be perfect. You can't be perfect. Even I'm not perfect every day. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even an option for me to be perfect every day.
Right.
And I know.
But we expect these little people to be.
Yes. And I know for myself, if I don't do cardio or work out, I'm not going to be in the right mindset to give all that I have to work, because I'm going to have all this pent up energy or whatever that I need to get out, that I need to expend. And they should have, like, I don't know, every other class, they should have like a running break or something, like go out and go do something. You know what I mean? Get it all out of there.
Exactly.
Even dogs, they started making treadmills for dogs to get out their, what do they call that? Not negative energy, but they're like, you know, their pent up aggression or whatever. This microphone keeps popping. To get out their energy so that they can rest, so they can relax, so they can have a clear mind.
Yeah.
Like, why do our kids not get that?
I don't know. Because the system's broken.
It is so broken.
I don't know. I have no idea what the answer is. I just thought, wouldn't it be interesting if this is the one trigger or thing that kind of sends us into a new model, makes us rethink how we're 100%. Doing things.
I don't think you're the only one who thinks that either. I think that people are, like, there was a meme on LinkedIn or something yesterday that said, like, everybody who's been trying to go remote and then the coronavirus comes out and then their company's like, okay, we're going remote. And they're like, yes.
Like, finally.
I've been waiting for this.
So I don't want to go remote. I don't either.
I like going into the
I don't
office.
Do well at home. So we did implement, you were asking what we've done. So that's a couple of things. The other thing is obviously giving the employees the flexibility to decide, do you want to come in? Do you want to stay at home? And you just do whatever works for you. And a lot of that is around not just the virus, but schools being out.
Kids.
And so they have families and, you know, they're two parent, you know, families, working families. And so they don't have the flexibility
to just not go to work.
Well, to not go to work, but to even like go to work because now the kids are at home. So it's like, how are we going to do this? So I gave everybody, it's like, the metrics are still in place. Like the expectations are still in place
outside of
the, you know, we don't have the interview metric, but as far as activity around reaching out to people and all of that, that stays. do your job, continue. In fact, triple your activity, because there's so many people that don't have the ability to work remotely, like, or they have the, they're working remotely right now because they have to, but they don't have the mentality to do that successfully.
Yeah.
So that's going to impact our competition's ability to be good. So this is a perfect time for us to come in and up our game.
Yes.
So that we can maybe even gain market share, because we're on, we're in, and we're, you know, we're available.
That's perfect.
Where I think a lot of people that are in our industry are, you know, we're having, they're being required to work remotely, but they're not very good at that.
Exactly.
For me, can't do it.
I'm not good at it either.
Cannot do it. I just I get distracted.
I feel like every place that I go has an energy. Like, you know, when you walk into the grocery store, you're there to grocery shop. That's what you're there to do. If you walk into the gym, you're there to work out. That's what you're there to do. If I walk into work, I'm there to work.
Right.
So when I'm at home.
And I'm not there to work.
I'm not there to work.
No.
That's not my work. That's
laundry,
my home.
Watch Netflix, read cook a book, some food, cook.
Whatever. Yeah.
That's just not the energy.
That's me too.
Exactly a perfect analogy.
100%.
So you were talking about going to Sam's. Friday night, I decided to plan for the apocalypse as well. And so I go to Sam's.
I bought into the hype.
So I went to Sam's along with all the people. And
was there a line outside to get in?
There was not, but I could not find a parking place. So I had to kind of drive around until, you know, the guy that's parked all the way at the end decided to finally leave.
Look at you getting your steps in.
Exactly. So I park. I walk up, not one cart, so I have to follow this poor lady to her car.
You're like, hey.
I'm like, lady, hey, I'm not here to like confiscate your goods. I just want your cart.
Can I have your cart?
Can I have your cart, please? So she gives me her cart. I'm walking in. This guy looks at me that I pass. He's walking out. I'm walking in. He goes, there's nothing left. There's nothing left. Like sheer panic in his eyes, right?
Was there really nothing left for me?
No, there was so much left. I was just like, and I didn't know
that. What was he freaking out about, like ground beef? Because I
don't know. Because I got in there and I'm like, there were things that were, you know, obviously like toilet paper and that kind of stuff was gone. But like, if you're there for food, you're fine. Like there was plenty of things. And if your normal stuff wasn't there, then you might have to alter and buy something else. But there was plenty of food. So plenty of all the things that Sam's is known for selling.
Okay.
So I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know what he was looking for. Probably toilet paper.
Of course.
Because they didn't have any
There's
of that.
There's nothing left.
Panic in his eyes. There's nothing left. And I thought, oh, wow, you need no more coffee.
Also, maybe a Xanax. When we went last night, they were completely sold out of chicken breasts, completely sold out of chicken thighs, completely sold out of ground beef. But they still had all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, so whatever you went to get might not be there, but you're not going to
starve. But that doesn't mean that they don't have anything else.
You're not going to starve. You just might have to alter or shift. Instead of your fresh chicken, you might have to buy a bag of frozen chicken.
Yeah.
Not our first choice, but we're not going to starve.
Right.
So I don't know. I think it's perspective. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about perspective, people.
Okay.
So right now, there's so much hype and there's so much fear and there's so much anxiety that people are literally focusing on that and only that.
Yes.
If that is you, if you are somebody, and I know you're probably thinking, look, lady, you're the one that went to Walmart at 9 o'clock at night.
This is the apocalypse and that's why I'm freaking out.
Yeah, exactly. No, that was just called preparation.
I'm not freaking out. You're freaking out. Whatever.
That's it. I really do think if this is something that you are like really seriously anxious about and you're really freaking out and you're really, it's hard for you to just do life in a normal way.
Yeah.
You need to get off social media.
Anxiety is real.
It is real.
Your daughter got off Facebook.
Taylor did. Yeah. You need to get off social media. You need to stop listening to the news.
Yep.
And you just need to go about life as you always would.
I feel like... So somebody sent me a text yesterday. I won't mention them so I don't make them feel bad.
Yeah.
They said that basically on Monday, since they're closing down travel to Ireland and Canada?
Yeah.
Not Canada. Ireland and one more place that they're adding to the list or whatever.
Germany?
No. Because that's already closed. I can't remember where it, who, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. Can't think. But like... You know, somebody texted me yesterday and was like, it's basically going to become Italy. Like, everything's going to be shut down. We're just going to be
here.
We're
going to become that.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. Yeah, that's what my friend was saying last night. He really thinks and thinks we should become like that to kind of get ahead of all of this.
Sure.
I personally, I don't agree with shutting down the economy as a good thing. I think that's a terrible, detrimental, horrible thing to do.
Yes.
I think people need to truck along as usual, as best that we possibly can.
When Ebola happened, it wasn't like this.
Well, because there was like, what, 3 cases in the entire United States. Like, it was very, very contained. But
okay.
I think... I get it. Like, I understand taking precautions and I understand being safe. But here's the thing. I really, really fully believe we're all probably going to get this at one point or another.
Yeah.
If we haven't already had it.
Okay.
I know that I got really sick in January.
Yep.
And
who knows what it was?
I mean, I had a high fever, respiratory issues.
Well, but you survived.
Well, that's my point.
You know what I mean?
The majority of the mortality rate is very low. And I know people will argue, well, those numbers are not accurate. Okay, fine.
Because we haven't been properly able to test.
I'll give you that. They're probably not accurate.
Okay.
But what the proof that we do see, especially with the Chinese, because we think about how many people got it there.
Yes.
The mortality rate was pretty low. Yeah, and I know people are saying, well, they're not accurately sharing the mortality rate. Maybe. But we can't shut down.
No.
We can't. Like, it's just not, think about what that means. Everybody's so afraid of the number of people that will die if they get coronavirus. Well, okay, it's terrible. It's tragic. And I don't want to think about that.
But it's not like the Black Plague.
But people, think about what happens if our economy shuts down. Are you thinking about that?
Right.
Are you thinking about what it looks like to stand in line for food?
Yeah.
What it looks like to stand in line for medical care? And, you know, the argument there is, that's why we're isolating ourselves. Because if there's a mass run on, you know, hospitals and doctors, then we can't care for the people who are really sick.
Yes.
I get it. But you shut down your economy and none of us listening to this right now have ever experienced that life. We don't know what that's like. We don't know what it's like to get sick and not be able to at least at minimum have access to NyQuil, right?
Yes.
Or have access to...
Well, and like we have to think about things that we rely on every single day. We're so reliant upon the grid. Like, you can't live without electricity. I can't live without running water.
Yeah.
You can't live without food. We have to have gas to go places in our cars. Yeah. Like,
I just think panic and shutting down the economy is not the right thing.
No, it's not the answer.
It's not the right thing. We've got to try to live life as best we can.
We don't freak out like this when large numbers of flu cases come out every year. And I'm not comparing this to the flu, but a lot of people die from the flu every year, especially senior citizens and those with compromised immune systems.
Exactly.
So why is it that we're freaking out about this right now?
I think it's because it's unknown.
Okay.
Nobody really knows what it could be.
Okay.
And then strains, you know, new strains develop from the original strain.
Of course.
And so we don't know what that's going to look like. And we don't have a... what do you call it? A vaccination for it.
True.
So, and I think the biggest issue that I keep thinking about is, okay, we shut down everything. We shut it all down. We just shut it down. We don't have a vaccine, y'all. So how long do we shut it down for?
Exactly.
Eventually we have to open things back up because we have to survive.
Exactly.
Well, what then? We shut it down again?
No.
I don't think it's rational
behavior.
I
feel like it's for sure blown out of proportion as far as like the actual disease itself. It'd be one thing if this was like flesh eating
bacteria.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
To where like you literally come in contact with someone and you turn into an instant zombie.
No, it's a respiratory infection.
Yes. We have those all the time.
You might get a fever.
Yes.
You're probably going to get it.
You're going to cough.
So I don't know. I mean.
Well, people who are wearing masks. And then they were saying like, you know, so Joe Rogan had like an expert on.
I haven't listened to that yet. Have you?
It's so, yes.
God, everybody keeps telling me to listen to it.
So the infectious diseases, he's an expert on infectious diseases. So he dealt with, you know, SARS, swine flu, H1N1, Ebola, all of those. He's an expert in those.
Yeah.
And he was saying, and Joe was like, well, what about these people wearing masks? And he's like, that's retarded. Because they literally, like, you have, this virus is contracted from breathing. So if you have holes in your mask on the side of your face, if you have holes underneath, if you have holes above, you're still spreading. Those masks are literally called surgical masks so that the doctor who's performing surgery didn't allow something to fall onto the patient when they have them cut open.
Oh.
So like if the doctor breathes into the patient or spit or some kind of bodily fluid, that's why the surgeons wear those masks.
It's not
to protect you.
Okay, that's interesting.
Absolutely not. And if people, I mean, you've seen it. People are wearing like Ozarka bottles over their heads.
No.
Oh my God, Shapiro. It's so bad.
literally like 5 gallon Ozarka bottles.
And this thing lives in the air for 30 minutes. Yes. So it's like,
And I read yesterday, if you do something as basic as gargle with warm salt water and add a little vinegar, the vinegar will prevent the virus from spreading and growing and multiplying. Oh. So literally as simple as gargling warm salt water with vinegar will prevent the spread of the virus.
I drink about 4 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar a day.
Then you're already doing what you need to do. And maintaining a healthy diet and making sure that you're exercising, you're preventing
getting sleep. This last year I got sicker more than I have collectively in probably the last 10 years.
I know.
I had pneumonia. I had bronchitis. I had a stomach virus.
You were so sick.
I had the flu. I had bronchitis. I mean, I had so many things in a 6-month period. And when I started to diagnose, okay, what is different in my life? What am I doing differently than I've ever done before? And it was, I was getting up really early in the morning to work out. So I wasn't getting enough sleep.
Okay.
So my immune system.
What time were you going to bed?
I was going to bed around 9, but I was getting up at 3:45.
That's not enough.
So, and I'm historically, I am a sleeper. Like I need 8 hours of
Me
sleep.
Too.
I always have. I know a lot of people do just fine on 6.
I
don't. And so I wasn't getting 8 hours of sleep. And I realized that my immune system was compromised and that's what was doing it. So when I stopped doing that, I haven't had anything. So I'm like, no more early workouts for me. It's just not good for my body. Now I think a 5 a, maybe a 6 a.m. is fine.
Yes.
That go into the 4:30s and the 5 a.m.s. It's just not good for me.
Well, and like, not only are you waking up early and not going to bed early enough, but you're waking up early and then you're immediately putting your body to work.
Yeah.
Like work.
Right.
Like busting your ass. Work.
So,
yes.
Wasn't a good, and then I think too, putting myself in first of all, a compromised immune system, and then I'm going to a gym where there's like all the germs and things.
And dirty people.
Yeah. So I just thought the combination, not good. So we're back to yoga, hot yoga.
Oh.
That's what we're doing right now.
I love hot yoga. I miss it so much.
I do too.
I want to go with you. Where are you going? Sunstone?
Sunstone. And I like it because they have HIIT and bar and Pilates and like all the things. So I don't have to just get stuck. I do too. And it's so much cheaper than where I was going before. Like I feel like I got a pay raise. So it's good. Now I will say muscle, like what do you call it?
Definition
or whatever. Definitely gone.
I know.
I was really seeing some change in my body going to Body Machine Fitness. So it was working. There's no question.
Weights, yeah.
But I just didn't want to be sick anymore. So, and this is working.
That's the most important.
So back to real quick. If y'all are looking for some tips or things that you can do to stay positive in uncertain times and stay positive with all the negative crap being thrown at you, I highly, highly, highly recommend a gratitude journal. And that is just something that when you wake up in the morning, it sits on your bedside table. And every morning you wake up, and if you're not committed enough to write it down and to keep a journal, just give yourself 5 minutes of time to think.
Yeah.
Call it meditation, call it what you want, but just a few minutes to just say, you know what, God or life or universe or whatever, whoever, thank you so much for allowing me to wake up today. Thank you so much for giving me XYZ, whatever it is that you're grateful for, because if you're not focusing on the things that you're grateful for, you're going to get wrapped up in all of the negative things. You got to focus on that positive stuff.
That's
and all
point.
The stuff that you're really grateful for.
Yeah.
Because when you
focus and like all of the positive things that, you know, even though maybe, you know, everyone's freaking out on the outside, even though maybe your family members are freaking out, like whatever, think about all the things that you still currently have. Like you still have your job, even though you might have to work remote. You still have your health. Even your kids are still healthy or whatever the case may be. Like think about the positive things, because the only constant is change.
Yeah.
There's no way for us to predict anything that's going to happen. It's funny. I was having this conversation yesterday and somebody asked me what my 5-year plan was. And I was like, you know, I can plan for anything.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what the next 5 years looks like for me.
It should be a 5-year desire, not a 5-year plan.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. This is what I would like my life to look like. This is what I would love. This is what I'm striving for.
Yes.
But I'm open to change.
Right.
So
look at you. You're so amazing. Okay. Before we sign off, I want to ask, how has this changed your personal life? How has this affected you personally?
Like not at all.
Exactly. Same.
Not at all. other than laughing at myself for, you know, running to Walmart, you know, something I would never ordinarily do.
Well, and I can't lie. When I got that text yesterday, I sent another text to a friend of mine who's sort of like a conspiracy theorist, an aluminum hat wearer or whatever. And I was like, what do you think about this? Mm-hmm. Like, do you know who QAnon is? Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's this person on Twitter who everybody thinks is RFK Jr., you know, the conspiracy theorist.
For sure.
And, like, I'm surprised that we haven't heard much about from this person lately. But just thinking about, like, you know, all of the conspiracies that this could potentially be. It's the deep state. It's this. It's that. And I'm like, man, it's just like watching the news. I cannot allow myself to be distracted by stuff like that.
Right.
I just have to keep going.
Do you want a book referral?
Of course.
Y'all listen. Everybody out there, get this book. Get two books. Michael A. Singer.
Okay.
He wrote The Untethered Soul. And I read The Untethered Soul probably 4 years ago.
Okay.
And then just recently I read The Surrender Project or The Surrender Experiment. I can't remember, but look up Michael A. Singer. You'll find it.
Okay.
He wrote both of them? He wrote both of them.
Okay.
The Untethered Soul was the bestseller. But okay. I would start...
I heard about that, yeah.
Oh, it's so... good. If you're struggling with anxiety, you're struggling with buying into all the negativity.
Yeah.
You're struggling with depression.
Yeah.
You're struggling with relationships. You're struggling with anything. Go get The Untethered Soul. He just breaks it down so simply and so, where you really can just grasp how to live and how to think and how to shut down all the stuff that just runs through our minds.
Yeah.
He really separates the mind from the soul and helps you understand how that little, the chatter in your mind has nothing to do with who you really are.
So true.
And anyway, just so get those two books and read them. Start with The Surrender Experiment or Project, but actually start with The Untethered Soul because that's where he really explains it. The Surrender Project is where it all started.
Okay.
And that was the first one written. But he is a really, really cool dude. I follow him on Facebook or like all the social medias and everything.
Cheers to surviving COVID-19.
I mean, we haven't survived it yet, but when we get it, we will.
Cheers to getting through it.
Getting through the chaos.
I know. It's insane, man.
It was so good to talk to you.
I know. I miss you.
I miss you, too.
Love you.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye.